My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
Concerning His invitation to mankind, the Lord said, they all with one accord began to make excuses. Luke chapter 14 and verse 18. You ever make any excuses in this life? I bet we've all got a good repertoire of excuses that we use from time to time. You ever made any excuses when you got pulled over for speeding? Well, officer, I had to make sure it'd really do 100. It said it would on the speedometer. Just don't know if that'll work. Dog ate my paper, couldn't bring the homework today. Computer crashed, I was right in the middle of it. You ever make any excuses, men, for not doing the work you ought to around the house? I had to make sure the score was really what they said it was on the ball game. Well, I just don't know if that'll work or not. But you know, when it comes to spiritual matters, do we make excuses? Do we make excuses for not serving God, not working, and not really doing the things that we ought to in this life? I came across one group's attempt to keep people from making excuses for not being at worship on Sunday. Here's what they did. They had a No Excuses Sunday. Certain group made the following announcement in their bulletin. To make it possible for everyone to attend worship next Sunday, we're having a special No Excuses Sunday. Here's what they did. Number one, beds will be placed in the aisles for all those who say, Sunday is my only day to sleep. Eye drops will be provided for all of those who stayed up too late Saturday night watching TV. Steel helmets will be handed out to all those who say, the church would fall down on top of me if I came in. Blankets will be provided for those who say it's too cold. Fans for those who say it's too hot. We'll have hearing aids for those who say the preacher is too quiet. And earplugs for those who say he's too loud. Scorecards will be available for all those who would like to mark the number of hypocrites who come in that Sunday. There'll be TV dinners for all who find it difficult to make Sunday supper after services. And finally, one section of the church will be devoted to trees and flowers for those who like to experience God in nature. We have a lot of excuses that we sometimes make, and this was indeed a feeble and humorous attempt. And our service today, our sermon is not about forsaking the assembly or attendance, but it does show how sometimes we make excuses, don't we? I want you to stop and think about a great, great man of the Bible. I want you to think about the life of that great servant Moses. Moses' life is an amazing example of the power of God at work. Moses is born destined to die. He's born into a time frame in which the Egyptians are putting to death all the male children. And yet because of Moses' mother's great faith, she makes that basket and places him in the dangerous Nile River. And lo and behold, as he is floating down the Nile River, Pharaoh's very own daughter hears him crying, has compassion on him, and takes him. Raises Moses as her own son, and even pays Moses' mother to take care of him during infancy. Moses then arises as a great leader of God. He performs the 10 plagues, cries out to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." He opens up the Red Sea. Israel walks through on dry ground, and he crushes the Egyptians with those same waters. He stands on Mount Sinai amidst the lightning and the thunder and the quaking and receives the commandments of God. Goes right up to the brink of the promised land, having led God's people there. You look at the life of Moses and you think, wow, what a great, great servant of God. But did you know Moses wasn't always like that? Did you know at one time in his life, Moses was one of the worst excuse makers in the Bible? Moses had to overcome making excuses before he was really ready to serve God. And friends, God has called us, me and you, to be great workers in the kingdom, to do great things. We've been entrusted with the great message of the gospel to spread that to a lost and dying world. Each one of us has been asked to work diligently to put the kingdom first. I'm to be an example for Christ every day. I'm to do good to the poor and those who are less fortunate in this life. Just like Moses, I've got great things God has planned for me and you, but I'm going to have to overcome some of my excuses before I can really do those things. I want you to open up to Exodus chapter 3. And this morning, we're going to think about the excuses of Moses. We want to look, first of all, at the excuses that Moses offers. And then we want to see God's response as to why that excuse will not work. And in reality, the excuses Moses offers, when God turns it around, ought to encourage each and every one of us to want to be workers and not make excuses in the kingdom of God. Here's the scene and the setting of Exodus chapter 3. Moses is on the backside of Midian as a sheep herder. And he looks up on the mountain, and lo and behold, there is a bush, and it's burning, it's on fire, but it's not consumed. Can you imagine that? Looking up, seeing a tree on fire, and the tree never burns out, it never burns up. And so naturally, Moses' curiosity is piqued. And see, he goes to see what this burning bush is. And as he gets there, you remember the words of God? He stands there, and God says to him, "Take the sandals off your feet. The place where you stand is holy ground." What message did God give to Moses in that place? There's the setting. Look in Exodus chapter 3 and notice what God says to Moses in verse 7. Look at this great call. "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good land, a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them." Now watch this. Here's what God says to Moses. He says, "Come now, therefore I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." What an awesome task God has for Moses. God says, "I'm tired of the way Pharaoh's treating our people. I'm going to deliver them. You're going to do it." Now how did Moses respond to God's request? Look at the first excuse. Exodus 3 verse 11. Moses' first excuse is, "Who am I? Why are you calling me?" Notice what Moses says in verse 11. "But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go up to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? God, why are you calling me? I'm just a sheep herder on the backside of Midian. What can I do to serve you? Who am I? Why me?" Moses, first of all, has an identity crisis. "God, why do you want me to do this? Who am I that I should lead your people out of Egypt?" You ever asked yourself that? Why does God, how can I do these things? Why do I need to be the one to do it? Who am I that I need to tell others about the gospel? Who am I that I need to do these things? How did God answer this identity crisis? God reminded Moses who he really was. And friends, if we're going to overcome the excuse of why me, who am I, we've got to be reminded as well who we are. Who are we? Who was Moses? And how did it encourage him to be one of God's great servants? Look a little further in the text and it'll tell us. Exodus chapter 3, look at what God reminds Moses of. Verse 12, "So God said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I sent you. When you brought out the people of Egypt, you shall serve me on this mountain." Who was Moses? Number one, Moses was someone God was with. Friend, isn't that an encouraging thought for us today? What does it mean to be someone God is with? Friend, that means that I am a child of God. I've got God on my side. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we can be called children of God. Who am I? I'm a child of the King. I'm a son or a daughter of God who created the whole earth. I can look up and call God my Father. And friend, with God on my side and God on your side, we don't have to ask, who am I? We can say, I know who God is. God is with me. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, the Lord has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, what shall man do to me? And so, as we think about excuses this morning, here's what I want you to think and get from this point. When we say to ourselves, you know, I just don't know that I'm cut out to do that. I'm just a carpenter, I'm just a plumber, I'm just whatever your lifestyle may be, whatever you may do. Remember, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about the fact that we've got God on our side and God is with us, and with that, no one can defeat us as God's people. Second excuse, look in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. Not only do we have to overcome an identity crisis, we may also have to overcome a God crisis, a theological crisis. Exodus 3, I want you to look at what Moses, his second excuse, recorded in verse 13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me. Maybe sometimes, like Moses, we make excuses because we don't know who God is. We don't really understand who it is that we serve. You can imagine Moses thinking this. Moses is about to go to a people who are under bondage, who any uprising is only going to cause more problems, and he's going to go and say, let my people go. You need to get in line and follow me. And so Moses says, well, who do you want me to say sent me? Who are you? Friends, if we can understand, listen carefully, if I can really understand who God is, there won't be any room left for excuses in my mind. Who is God? Well, what does God say in verse 12 and 13? God says something that seems rather ambiguous to each and every one of us, something that we kind of wonder about. God says, I am who I am. What does that mean? God kind of sounds like to me and you that He's almost avoiding the question, but He's not. In the Hebrew, it is a very unique way of turning words together in which is implied by that original language that God is eternal, that He's ever-present, that He's unchanging, that He's a constant. It's like when Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last, the beginning and the end. Past, present, and future, I am and always will be, God is saying. And so, what do I need to understand about God to stop making excuses? Understand, God is the eternal God. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2, God says, from everlasting to everlasting, I am God. He has always been, currently is, and will always be. That's the God we serve. That's who He is. He's unchanging. Friend, God is not going to change His mind about things tomorrow, 10 years from now, or 1,000 years from now. The Bible says in Malachi 3, verse 6, God says, I am God, I change not. Titus 1, verse 2, we're living in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6, verse 18, says those exact words. And so He's eternal. He doesn't change. He's the constant in my life and in yours. Among all the things that change, among all the things that are different from time to time, God is the one constant in my life and yours. And friend, if I can grasp that and I can understand who God is, I won't want to make excuses. Instead, I'll want to get out and work. in the kingdom of God. I want to be faithful to this God. I want to serve Him, and I want to do everything I can to honor Him in this life. Well, let's look then at the third excuse. Moses, first of all, has an identity crisis, but then I want you to notice he also has a theological crisis. And then thirdly, in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, Moses then has a fear of failure problem. He makes his next excuse because he's afraid he might fail. Look at Exodus chapter 4. I want you to look in verse 1. The Bible says, "Then Moses answered and said, 'But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you.'" You ever failed from doing maybe what you know you ought to because you were afraid you wouldn't do it right? You ever make excuses because in the back of your mind you wonder, is this really something I can do without messing up? All of us have probably made that excuse in our life. Well, I know I ought to talk to my friends and neighbors, but what if I say the wrong thing? I know this is a work that needs to be done, but I might mess up. I know I could probably help in this area, but what if I make a mistake? What if we can always say, what if? And that's what Moses is doing here. What if I mess up? What if they don't believe me? What if this is a big failure, God? How did God answer that excuse? Look in Exodus chapter 4 and notice what God does. Three proofs are given to Moses to remind him not to worry about the failure. Exodus 4 verse 2. "So the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' And he said, 'A rod.' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it." Now, Moses and I are a lot alike here. You can imagine having a rod. You take that rod. God says, "What's that?" He said, "God, it's a stick. You see there? It's a pretty nice little stick. Throw it on the ground." And that stick turns into a black water moccasin. Ooh, I'd have been like Moses. I'd have run, wouldn't you? Now, God, you wouldn't have had to say to me, "Pick it up. I'm already ready to go wherever you want to send me." But Moses now is told by God, look in Exodus chapter 4, and notice what God says to Moses next. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Reach out your hand and take it by the tail.' He reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And God said that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you." Second proof. "Furthermore, the Lord said to him, 'Now put your hand in your bosom.' He put it in his bosom, and when he took it out, his hand was leprous. And he said, 'Put your hand back in your bosom again.' So he put it in his bosom again and drew it out, and it was like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river, pour it on the dry land. That water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land." And so he's got three proofs. A rod turned to a snake, then back to a rod. His hand was clean, leprous, and then clean again. Take clean water, pour it on the ground, it becomes blood. What's all this about, God? God is trying to show to Moses that it's not about you and it's not your power. It's about me and it's about my power. Friend, when I think to myself, and when you think to yourself, what if I mess up? What if I fail? Here's two things you need to be reminded of. Number one, listen carefully. This is not about me and you. It's not about whether I fail or whether you fail. This is way bigger than that. This is about God and the church and the kingdom and lost souls and glorifying Him. If I can remove myself from the equation and stop saying, "What if people laugh at me? What if I mess up? What if I fail?" If I can say to myself, "This is not about me and not about you. It's so much bigger than that." And secondly, if I can be reminded that the proof is there, that people are not going to reject me and are not going to reject the truth if they're truth seekers, because the proof's there. We've got the miracles of the Bible. We've got the inspiration of Scripture. You've got the proof of many, many lives who've been lived by the Bible. If we just take that proof, the Bible, and use it, don't depend on ourselves, don't depend on others, take that proof and use it, then you can never go wrong as long as you let the Bible be your guide. Fourth excuse then Moses makes, look in Exodus chapter 4. Moses now wonders about his own inadequacy. Look in Exodus chapter 4. What does Moses now say after seeing these three great signs? Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you've spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. You ever wonder if you'd say the right thing? Someone were to ask you, what do I need to do to become a Christian? Would you say it right? Would you be eloquent enough to say what you really needed to say? Maybe you'd say to yourself, well, you know, I don't need to be doing that because I'm not a good speaker. Moses said, well, God, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Is that really true? Now, friends, I suspect that Moses felt that way. But does the Bible say that that is true? Friends, I suggest to you this morning, the Bible says Moses wasn't telling the truth here. Look in your Bible in Acts chapter 7, and I want you to see what God says about Moses' ability to speak in Acts chapter 7, verse 22. This is just an excuse on Moses' part. Look in Acts chapter 7, and let's get a divine commentary about Moses' ability to speak. Acts chapter 7. What does the Scripture say about Moses as a deliverer of words? Acts 7, verse 22. The Bible says, of this Moses, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, now watch this, and was mighty in words and in deeds. What's the Bible say about Moses? Moses was mighty. His words were powerful. He may not have felt like the most eloquent orator. Maybe he wasn't like Apollos. Maybe he wasn't just an eloquent orator. But the Bible says Moses' words were mighty and powerful. That he had that, may not have been what he felt like was the best gift, but he had that talent and ability when used correctly. And so when I feel like I'm inadequate, I need to be reminded I do have that talent. I do have that ability if I'll only use it in the presence of God. I want you to look back to Exodus 4. And I want you to see, I believe this is the one excuse that bothered God the most. Look back in Exodus chapter 4 and watch how God questions Moses concerning this excuse. Look at Exodus 4, verse 11. Exodus 4, verse 11. So the Lord said to Moses, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? God says, in view of that, in view of the fact that I have made your mouth, go and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Friend, when I say that I'm inadequate, am I not saying God made me unable? It's God's fault that I can't do these things? I understand we all have different talents and abilities. I understand we all can't do the same thing at the same level, but when I say, God, I just can't do it. God, I can't go and take the gospel to anybody because... Doesn't that reflect on God in some ways? Because God has said for all to spread the message. God has said for all to be workers in the kingdom. We need to realize that when we say we're inadequate, we're really saying that God told me to do something that He didn't make me capable of doing. And friend, God is not going to do that. Really, we need to each think about our own talents. Remember Matthew 25? Jesus told there the illustration story about the men who were each given talents. Five talent man, two talent man, one talent man, five talent man. He took it and doubled it. Great man, did a great job. Two talent man, he took that money and doubled his money. Great worker, great servant. What about the one talent man? Lord, I know You're a hard master. I know You seek where it hadn't been sowed and such like that. And so I took Your one piece of money. I hid it in the ground. Here it is. It's Yours. What did the Lord say to that? You wicked and slothful servant. You at least could have put it with the bankers, He said. What else did He say to that man? Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. They'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friends, when I say I don't have the talent or the ability, I'm really not taking what I have and using it to the glory of God. Now, final excuse. Excuse number 5. Look in Exodus chapter 4 and let's get to the heart of the matter. This is what it's all about. Moses just doesn't want to go. That's what it really comes down to. Exodus 4 verse 14, it's all a matter of the will. Moses now says, Exodus 4 verse 13, but Moses said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else You may send. Send somebody else, Moses says. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and He said, is not Aaron the Levite Your brother? I know he can speak well, and look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. What did it really all come down to? It was a matter of whether Moses wanted to or not. Friend, it wasn't a matter of whether he could, whether he was able. It was all a matter up here. Was Moses going to make his mind to stop making excuses and do what God wants him to? You know, someone's rightly said, given a good illustration of what excuses are like, it reminds me, every time I hear of pathetic excuses, I'm reminded of this. You don't know what excuses are like? Excuses are like belly buttons. Everybody's got one and they ain't worth much. Isn't that about right? That's what excuses are like. They're like belly buttons. Everybody's got one and they ain't worth much. If we're going to make excuses, is that really going to please God? Is God really going to be happy with me if all I do is make excuses for why I can't get out and work? Not at all. We need to realize that God has called us to be workers in the kingdom. And if I stand back and say, God, I can't do it for this reason, I can't do it for that, God's not going to be happy with me. Are we saying everybody's got the same talent? No, we're not. But if you don't use your talent, friend, God's not going to be pleased with each and every one of us. And so we ask this morning, have we really been working diligently in the kingdom? Are we trying to do our best to help others to go to heaven and spread the message? Or have we made excuses? God, I can't do it because. What if? Friend, we need to stop making excuses and get busy working in the kingdom of God. If you've never obeyed the gospel, friend, we want you to know that the Lord's invitation is always open. If you know that Jesus is the Son of God, you believe that with all your heart, you're willing to make that good confession, repent of things in your life that might not be right, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, why not do that today? Maybe you've been making excuses for not doing that. Friend, put those excuses aside and just do what God wants you to do. If as a child of God, maybe your life has not been lived right. Maybe you've said or done things. Maybe you haven't been doing the things you need to. Why not make changes that are necessary today? If you need to obey the gospel, friend, the Lord's invitation is always open. Won't you do that?